What's up, Eeps? Welcome back to the Peels live stream of the day here. Well, not technically a live stream because this is pre-recorded, but you know what? It is live for me, so fuck you guys, actually. Live stream, I'm going to go with that anyway. I didn't mean to start that so aggressively, but welcome to the Daily Peels video stream for the day here, guys. It is currently 9:18 p.m. on this beautiful Monday, April 15th, 2024. Shout out to anybody that suffered through the Boston Marathon here today. As a Bostonian myself, gotta say Boston strong, 11 years of being Boston strong. So shout out to that city, shout out to Jason Tatum, and let's go Celtics. All right, I'll stop wasting your time now. Let's go ahead and get into the markets and everything going on with the Daily Peel to get you ready for the tapes of tomorrow, this Tuesday. Now, the WSO Alpha portfolio, I got to be honest with you guys, very weak start to the week here. We did lose about 1.64% on the day here today. Fucking goddamn Tesla. That thing's going to be the bane of my existence for the foreseeable future. At least that's how it's seeming, at least right now. I'm still buying on all of these dips here, guys. Definitely still supportive of that long-term bullish thesis, as we published in our 25-page WSO Alpha research report. So if you haven't signed up for that, I honestly don't know what you're doing here. Go and do that, because you'll get a whole lot of value out of it. We just launched a new Discord server as well, and the shit is absolutely popping off. So go ahead and be sure to check that out. Guys, we got a lot to talk about today. We got retail sales, we got the battle of the brokers, and we got a bunch of stocks coming forward as well. Some rising, some falling. That's typically how it goes on most days. So stay tuned for all of our thoughts on that, what stocks you should be looking for going forward, especially those in the brokerage business, as we break it all down here in just a couple of minutes. Like I said, WSO Alpha down 1.64% on the day. We did still manage to beat the NASDAQ. They were down about 1.79%, but the S&P lost only 1.2%. So, you know, a real kick in the nuts for us, but still, we got to let them catch up a little bit after we were smoking them for the first, what, like 2 days of Q2? Just utter dominance, if you ask me. But either way, we certainly hope that turns around relatively soon. Let's go ahead and get into some of the banana bits here for the day. Like I said, Tesla completely fucked the Alpha portfolio, as well as the NASDAQ and probably your portfolio. I know it did to my personal one as well here today, with Elon cutting about 10% of the workforce. So basically, investors are selling off because it seems like they have to cut costs. I honestly don't really know why this was a big selling point, but you know, it does showcase that Tesla is entering kind of a new stage where they could become like a mature EV tech company, which sounds fucking insane considering that it's Tesla, but entering a new growth phase that must have investors a little bit nervous. I don't blame them. But let's go ahead and get into something else. It's time for Swifties to absolutely rejoice here, because the Department of Justice is finally suing every Taylor Swift fan's least favorite company in Live Nation. This is the owner of Ticketmaster. And so this is something that the Swifties have been waiting for quite a while. I'm sure Travis Kelce got on the horn with Lena Khan or with whoever the fuck is running the DOJ these days and said, listen, you got to do this for my girl. Either way, they got the job done somehow. We'll see how that lawsuit actually ends up turning out. Considering that Lena Khan, the chairman of the FTC, not the DOJ, but still related because it's an antitrust case, I'm sure she'll find a way to fuck this up, as she's done with just about every other major antitrust case over the past couple of years, continuing to allow Zuckerberg to steal your data like it's taking candy from a baby, quite honestly. Or what's easier than taking candy from a baby? Breathing oxygen? I guess that's basically what Facebook does with our data. Anyway, the Atlanta Fed GDP Now Tracker. This is one sign that the Fed is actually aware that technology exists and that they can keep track of things in a much more real-time basis than they typically do. The Atlanta Fed GDP Now Tracker is posting 2.8% annualized GDP growth for the first quarter, much better than the 2.4% that we saw recently at the end of last year. So obviously off to a strong start. And finally, gold prices are still absolutely surging. Peter Schiff is throwing a huge party in his house, and everybody is not invited because we're big Bitcoin bulls over here, and I'm sure he would probably rather see our heads on a stake than Bitcoin above $80,000. So big race right now. Is gold going to get to 4K or Bitcoin to 100K first? Place your bets right now. Honestly, that's an interesting question that I didn't really think of before asking it, but could be a good one, so we'll see how that goes. All right, guys, it's time to shut up, or more specifically, it's time to shut up and spend, because that's exactly what you guys did, and I did. Pretty much every consumer in the United States, from sea to shining sea, was shutting up and spending in March, and that's what we should be doing, the great American national pastime of spending money that we don't have to buy shit that we don't really even want all that much. That was absolutely popping off in March. It was the new hot trend of the month, as we saw retail sales grow at 0.7% in March, aka 4.0% even for the full year. Now, that's very strong consumer spending growth, way better than the 0.3% that economists were guesstimating for. So obviously, beating to the upside on that is not only ideal for like retail companies and other assets in your portfolio, this is great for GDP growth, because U.S. GDP is about 70, somewhere between 2/3 and 70% determined by consumer spending on any given year. So seeing very strong growth here for the month of March was obviously a hugely positive sign. February, we did see 0.9% growth on the revised figure. It was originally reported at 0.6%, but they bumped it up a little bit. I guess we actually do care about our loved ones and we spend on that Valentine's Day spending. Everybody was dropping bands. Good for you guys that actually know what it's like to be loved by another individual. Now, January was still relatively weak, so it was very compelling to see that March numbers came in hot, or hotter than expected, because we had been off to a relatively weak start. So seeing that the first quarter ended on a high note, bang, take it much of a better start to Q2 and the rest of the year. Now, it was interesting to see the exact breakdown, because auto sales did actually fall for the month, and those being very high ticket items, they drive a lot of the spending figure overall. And now, if we remove auto sales from the equation altogether, retail sales actually grew 1.1%, which is pretty fucking absurd for only 1 month. And keep in mind, guys, all of this data is nominal, so it's not inflation adjusted. But as we saw in the last CPI report, 0.4% for the month, 3.5% for the year, we are still outperforming inflation in terms of our spending. Now, at the same time, credit card delinquencies have been on the rise as well. You might have seen reports saying that credit card delinquencies are at an all-time high. Absolute cap. It's complete bullshit. Do not buy it at all. Go look at this chart. It's included in our piece. It is on an uptick, but nowhere even close to an all-time high. So I don't know who started this bullshit-ass rumor mill, but still, that's exactly what's going on right now. Pretty much covered everything that I was going to mention right there. Now, overall spending, like we said, is very strong. Resilient labor market. Really, that's one of the big drivers here, is the fact that the job market, everybody who wants a job can still go out and get one for a large part. Now, wage growth is starting to tick down a little bit, so that does show kind of a weakening labor market, but we're still growing wages above inflation. So let the party roll for now, I guess, and keep spending all that money that you don't have. I know I certainly am going to be doing the same. One of the big detractors for the month, well, this is an interesting thing to think about here, because one of the big reasons that retail sales were up so high was because gas prices have been on an uptick. So when gas prices are increasing, obviously every time you fill up your tank, it's going to cost more. And when you scale that up to all 340 million of the fuckers that live in this country, obviously that's going to play a big role overall, even slight upticks. We did see a 2.1% uptick for the month in terms of gas prices. Now, I say that it kind of helps out on both ends because of this. In terms of overall consumer spending, rising gasoline prices is going to drive that further and drive GDP growth. It's going to help out energy companies and retail companies and their overall bottom line. But it completely fucks the average American, because if we're spending more money on gas, that means we're not going out and spending more money on random bullshit that we don't need. And like I said, that is our national pastime. So rising gas prices helps GDP, but takes away from our national pastime, which seems anti-American, but that is the current state of play that we exist in right now. Now, one of the most important line items here is spending at food service and drinking places, as the Federal Reserve refers to it. Now, or not the Federal Reserve, excuse me, the Commerce Department. This is what they call restaurants, basically food service and drinking places. Can't really blame them for not knowing the term restaurant. I'm sure they've never been invited to one by another human being, because they work in the government after all. But we did see very solid growth for restaurant spending, 6.8% for the month. Now, very solid growth to see in something like that. That's 11% compared to March of 2023. This is great because restaurant spending is one of the most discretionary items. Now, when we think about investing, right, we talk about high beta names. These are companies that tend to have returns above and below that of the rest of their sector. So it can often be a decent strategy to think like, hey, I think solar stocks are going to start to pop off. What's the highest beta solar stock? Because if they're all going up, then this one with the highest beta should, in theory, at least be going up the most. That's kind of like what restaurant spending is to the economy and consumer spending more broadly. If restaurant spending is increasing, we get a lot of discretionary money to throw around, and that's exactly what we saw in March. Now, if we look at other discretionary items like clothing, that fell off a cliff. Now, men's apparel in particular is experiencing some of the highest inflation of any line item that the CPI reports on. We know that the CPI is about as good as counting as my three-month-old dog is, so, you know, it's not necessarily something to go off of, but still, that is something that's on our radar as it kind of tracked over into the spending data. All right, that's pretty much it. Now, the big takeaway here is that consumers are throwing bands. This is just another sign of the Goldilocks economy right now. And the Goldilocks economy is basically a closeted way of saying a soft landing. You don't want to come out and say that you think it is a soft landing right now, because people that do that have actual career risk. Obviously, myself, I barely have a career, so there's basically nothing at risk here. So I can go out and say that if I want to. Goldilocks economy, euphemism for soft landing. There was a lot of people saying that this is further evidence of the Goldilocks economy today. So soft landing is, and if you aren't already on board, get on board right now or hop in the Discord server and tell me exactly how wrong I am. That shit is popping off right now, so sorry if you guys can hear the notifications. All right, let's go ahead and get into some of the stock movers today. M&T Bank Corp. This is one of those big banks that you've probably never heard of. They're a big player in the commercial real estate space. Now, we know that commercial real estate has been completely brutalized ever since SVP went out there and absolutely just completely killed everybody's fun back in March of 2023. That's when it was. I almost said 22 for a second. But M&T, they do have high exposure to the commercial real estate market, so investors were very surprised to see that they weren't going bankrupt on their earnings report. These guys could have come out here and said, yeah, we wiped our ass for the entire quarter. As long as they were able to cover their interest payments, the stock was going to go up. It was up about 4.7% on the day. They beat EPS and revenue. Solid quarter for M&T. Moving on to a way cooler and douchebaggier bank, we have Goldman Sachs. I really believe that Goldman Sachs headquarters is probably the highest concentration of douchebags anywhere in the entire world, but those douchebags got it done in Q1. That's really all they're there to do. So, you know, hats off to all the, what do they call people that work at Goldman Sachs? Goldies? Sachs? Sachs is actually kind of hysterical. That would be pretty funny if it was like, I won't say what I was thinking of. But anyway, the other big banks that play in the same league as Goldman, they disappointed heavily on Friday of last week. We saw JP Morgan down 6.5%. We saw Wells Fargo fall nearly 2%. We saw, Citigroup fell almost 2%. Wells Fargo fell a little bit more than 0.5%. So interesting to see that Goldman was up 2.9% on the day. They absolutely knocked it out of the park with their investment banking fees. They killed it in terms of fixed income trading. Basically just took Citigroup's fixed income trading revenue and took that off for themselves like a goddamn magnet. They just sucked it over into the sack empire that is Goldman Sachs. So that was pretty interesting to see. They were absolutely killing it where other banks work. Mortgage financing was a big thing as well. When you're Goldman Sachs and you're playing with the wealthiest Americans that there are, obviously that's going to be a whole lot easier than if you're, you know, Bank of America and you're dumb enough to lend money to somebody like me. But still, Goldman absolutely killed it for the quarter. Go check out our video that's on the YouTube, on the Instagram as well. We break it down a little bit further. And I'm actually getting close to keeping the 5-minute peel videos within 5 minutes. So I'm pretty proud of myself for that. But I just wish my parents were too. Anyway, let's go into some of the stock losers of the day. We have What's Rotten, kicking things off with Salesforce. Now, if you guys don't remember, Salesforce had one of the shittiest acquisitions of all times a couple of years ago when they went balls deep on Slack and they dropped like $25, $30 billion to buy that thing. It was then quite the tumultuous acquisition. Investors weren't too happy with it overall because they paid more than an arm and a leg. They basically paid several bodies worth in order to purchase Slack at that time. Now Salesforce is saying, we didn't get enough back then. We want even more smoke. So we're going to throw $10 billion at a company called Informatica. You guys might be familiar with Informatica. I certainly was not at all. But Salesforce is actually offering them below the closing price on Friday to complete the acquisition. So investors in Informatica sold off the stock as well. So obviously, Salesforce investors sold off because Mark Benioff sucks at acquisitions. The stock was down about 7.3% on the day. We'll see if that deal can actually go through. Speaking of DOJ investigations, just like is going on with whatever the fuck DOJ investigation I mentioned at the top of the call, we'll see if another one can get started here for Salesforce. All right, finally, we have Reddit. This thing has been incredibly volatile, even after its kind of post-IPO frenzy settled down a little bit. This thing still is just rocketing up and down every day, mostly down pretty much every day. And yesterday was no exemption. It was down 5.4% on the day. Wasn't any big earnings news or anything, but essentially what we have is a lot of little large bulge bracket banks initiated coverage on Reddit. So we have JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, and Morgan Stanley all come out and slap neutral or equal rate ratings on there. And then what was equally detrimental to the company overall was that Deutsche Bank came out and said that the thing was a buy. So obviously investors dumped their shares because anything that Deutsche Bank says to buy, I want to be very far away from, as far as possible. That is pure rotten bananas if you ask me. Now these ones are particularly ripe here today, so I'm not going to eat one right now, but still, you guys know what I mean. In sell side lingo, neutral also means shitty because These sell-side analysts, they have an incentive to give a positive rating to the companies that they cover because they want management to like them. And if management doesn't like them because they're giving sell-side ratings, they're not going to have interview access. They're not going to have access to certain data that they might otherwise be able to get. So it really is an absolute fucking Ponzi scheme. And that's why every stock that you look up on Bloomberg is absolutely dominated by buy ratings instead of what probably should be sell ratings. Anyway, let's go ahead and move on into the thought banana portion of the day. We have the battle of the brokers. So we're talking about BlackRock, State Street, and Charles Schwab here today. That might seem like a weird combination to throw Charles Schwab in with. Yes, it absolutely is, because BlackRock and State Street deal primarily with institutional investors, accredited investors, prime brokerage services, qualified investment buyers. Charles Schwab is much more focused on the retail segment, but they've recently been growing in institutional services. So we wanted to lump them all together. The other big thing here is that Schwab is seeing quite a lot more AUM growth than these two old boomers of the industry. So that has been interesting to see. We were talking about shitty acquisitions with Salesforce and with some of the other ones we've been talking about here today. But an actual good example of an acquisition is Charles Schwab buying Ameritrade. Not only did that bring over a ton of users, it scaled up Schwab's tech investment immaculately, way more so than Schwab probably could have done internally, and it brought over the legendary trading platform Think or Swim. If you're not using Think or Swim, I don't really know what else you're doing, because I'm personally a huge fan of it. That's usually what's covering this screen most of the time, besides when I'm on these videos and I have to have this monkey fucking eyeballing me over here. Looks like he wants to fight. But anyway, before I start punching my computer screen, let's go ahead and check out some of these numbers. BlackRock saw relatively healthy inflows in Q1. Nothing crazy, nothing really to write home about. Now, the big thing with BlackRock was that their earnings actually fell 65% compared to Q1 of 2023. A lot of that had to do with restructuring costs and other kind of one-time charges, and just the simple fact that equity markets, you know, investors aren't pouring money into equity markets quite as much as they were this time last year. We're still seeing a big split between what normally would be fee-earning equity-based investments into more self-directed bond investments. Now, a lot of the time when investors purchase bonds on their own without that advisory fees, they're not doing so in these bond ladders, so it very well could be future revenue. But at least as of right now, it was decent for AUM, but a weak quarter for BlackRock overall. Very similar story for State Street. But State Street, guys, this company is 232 years old. I don't know if you guys are aware of this. Literally was founded during the Washington administration. During Washington's first term, this company was founded very close to after the ratification of the Constitution. So Jesus Christ, this thing is almost as old as America itself. And it definitely looks like it. If you look at this company's earnings report, their website, or especially their investor services whatsoever, it looks like you're basically giving orders and some guy is sitting in a back office doing it on pen and paper as if it was BC era. Either way, State Street, this is the epitome of a company facing an innovator's dilemma. They're nervous to get with the times because they've been so successful on kind of the old way of doing things. So they don't necessarily want to go big on technology as of right now or anything that would make investors happy with their services because they're worried they're going to cannibalize themselves. But nonetheless, State Street profits fell 10%. The bank is carrying a massive unrealized loss of about $5.9 billion, primarily in its bond portfolio. Shout out to SVB. And they did see that operating earnings beat expectations at $1.04 per share. So relatively mixed quarter in that sense. Really, since C-19 has gone away, COVID-19, I could actually say that on this live stream anyway. Since COVID has fucked off, State Street hasn't been able to, grow its AUM too well. Now, it was a 4% growth figure from Q4 2023, but if you look at the chart that's actually included in the piece, what you're seeing is a general downtrend. Anybody that's done technical analysis is going to know that, and very weak sign for the company long term. But who knows, when you've been around for 232 years, you never want to consider somebody down and out for the count. Now, finally, we have Charles Schwab. They came in hot this Monday morning. They were the only one of these three stocks here to actually rise in response to their earnings report. And they didn't really have too much good reason for it. Revenue fell 7.3% overall. Earnings fell about 15% at the same time. So really shitty operating leverage there. I don't know if you would call that operating leverage or like negative operating leverage, I guess is technically what it would be. But net interest revenues, they make up the largest segment for Schwab. That fell 19% for the quarter. But the good news was they did see $96 billion in net new core client assets. That's basically just new money coming into the firm separated for gains in the equity market. So seeing $96 billion in the first quarter, very strong sign for Schwab going forward. This thing, I mean, this is as Ben Graham, Warren Buffett value stock as they come right here. We might have to do a long-form research report on this, so let me guys know if that's something that you'd want to see us break down Schwab and anything else that you might want to see from us going forward. You know, I'd love to, my dad always told me my favorite sound in the world is the sound of my own voice, and he could not be more correct. So give me more reasons to come on here and yap. Before I leave you guys today, let's finish things off with a quote from none other than Charles Schwab himself, who, in case you couldn't figure that out, he actually founded State Street. No, I'm just kidding. He founded Charles Schwab, obviously. But he said he was an actual nice guy on Wall Street, which is incredibly bizarre to hear today, but especially in the 19th century or whatever the fuck, 20th century. Jesus Christ, I always do that. But one of his most famous quotes was that he said, "I consider my ability to arouse enthusiasm among my people the greatest asset I possess. And the way to develop the best in that person is by appreciation and encouragement. There's nothing else that so kills the ambitions of a person as criticisms from superior." Try to use that one on your MD or your VP and see how that one goes. Say, you know, nothing kills the ambitions of a person as criticism from superiors. I'm sure they're going to love that and it's going to go over very well and you'll probably get an enormous bonus. Or they might even give you their job or their wife or something. Who knows? Either way, before I say anything that might get us canceled once again here, happy investing, happy trading, guys. Thanks for joining us as always. We'll be back with you tomorrow. And like I said, let me know whether the content you want to see is covered, join the Discord server, go watch our other videos, and go subscribe to WSO Alpha so that I can keep my job. Anyway, apes, like I said, happy investing, happy trading. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye now.